Good morning and welcome to Food Talk, discussions on the vagaries of home cooking. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Marianne. I got my apron on.
Yay. That makes us feel like we're ready to cook. And you also have notes in your hand. This is auspicious.
It's just because I have a dressing recipe that I wanted to share. That's all.
Oh.
Yeah. So I have like an all-purpose just dressing that I use on wild rice salad. I use on potato salad. It's not a creamy dressing. It's a vinaigrette. And I just really like it. And I wanted to share it. So here I am reading a recipe to you. What a thrilling episode of Food Talk.
Well, after the show, you're going to give me those notes and I'll hand them over and we'll try to get that up on the website.
Okay.
And then we don't have to memorize it.
Yes.
But with a vinaigrette, often if we just know what's in there, we don't necessarily need the exact measurements. So
yeah. So this one is a cup and a third of olive oil, half a cup of wine vinegar. You can use red or white, both are good. You know, maybe a tablespoon of fresh thyme, a teaspoon of dry thyme, whatever you want. A tablespoon of salt. Dressings need a lot of salt because they have to salt essentially all the vegetables you're putting them on. Half a teaspoon of pepper, 4 cloves of garlic. And then the thing that makes this one good is just a little bit of dried dill and maybe a teaspoon of smoked paprika.
Ooh,
I just like those in there, and I use it a lot. So I just wanted to share that. I didn't mean to share it right off the bat because it's kind of boring. But
No. I think that this might be the poor Dale Memorial dressing because it's got smoked paprika, right?
That's his favorite. I know I've said this before, but when I make something with smoked paprika, he says, "Oh, this is so good. I don't know how you do, but it's just so delicious." And after all these like decades of marriage, he doesn't know that that's his favorite spice. He just thinks it's some magic that I'm able to do. And I just, I like that. So I don't tell him.
Okay. Well, with any luck at all, he's not listening. Your secret is.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I just busted myself. Dough.
Well, I'm pretty excited about easing our way seriously into spring and on toward summer in terms of what we have to work with.
It could just stay exactly how it is now, and I would be happy. But it is exciting that we're getting so many more vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
The strawberries, you know, I just love them so much. And then normally I have a couple lettuce bowls, you know, just where you have little leaf lettuce in bowls. But Dale's son Ian is really quite the farmer. I mean, he really plants a lot of stuff, and he just planted a great surfeit of head lettuce this year, red lettuce and romaine, and it's just so good. I never planted. I don't know why.
I tend to plant leaf lettuce.
I think it's because I can cut exactly what I want.
Yes.
I'm not like whacking off a head and committed to eating the whole thing. You know what I mean? But it's just so good. I'm planting some next year. It's really, really good.
And I love the idea of bowls. You know, it was hard for us to transition from the idea of doing a bed of something, mm-hmm. which is completely insane for a two-person household.
Yes.
And then you are, you know, I've tended this lettuce all the way through until now it's bolted and it's going directly from the bed into the compost. Having bowls of lettuce is just brilliant, I think. I even planted some that way in the little herb garden at the food web so that we can go out and just have some leaves.
Yeah, and then for me, we got those dogs, and you never know what they're going to like. It's so funny how all the herbs they didn't touch except tarragon.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, the tarragon were just like little sticks in the pots one morning.
They're very discerning. They like the expensive food.
Yes, yes. But when they're in bowls, then you can say, oh, yeah, they're gnawing on that. I'll get that in the front yard. Get that away from the dogs. Well, do you remember how I had this like grand plan this year, how I was going to go get like a flat of strawberries and then, you know, clean those and wait a day or two and
you
get another one.
I
was
going to
do it. Yeah. Really relaxed. And I did it for a while. I mean, it was like how I would picture maybe like Helen Mirren cleaning strawberries or Joni Mitchell, you know, I'm on the patio on the table. The birds are singing, the sun is shining, you know, and I didn't even use a knife or anything.
This is very Disney-esque.
Yes. Yeah. Birds are whistling. And I just used use my little thumbnail, you know, and I just pulled the little leafy part off and I washed them and I had my favorite little knife and I cut them all into equal size pieces and put them in quart bags and froze them. And after a while, I wasn't, you know, getting enough clearly. And so then one day also, I knew that I was going to have to, take a trip. So my spring was going to be cut a little short, the strawberry part. And so then I went to the strawberry stand and I got 4 flats and I dumped them all in this giant bucket and I washed them all up. And then, I mean, you couldn't use your thumbnail on 4 flats. Your fingernail would just like completely pull away from your bed. So, so I got the strawberry tweezers, which are great, you know, just those little tweezers. And I cleaned and I pulled all those off and cleaned off. And then I just like took a chef knife and I just hacked them up like murder victims. So what I forgot was the first strawberries were the hoods, and that's what I was cleaning. And it doesn't matter how you cut the hoods up because they just turn to mush when they freeze. They're still delicious, but there's just not a lot of shape to them. But then the strawberries that I got that I hacked up like murder victims, they're shucksons, and they freeze perfectly, and they keep their shape. And so if you get some pie that does not look professional for me at any time in the next year.
It's been the victim of a crime. A horrific crime.
Speed strawberry cleaning.
Well, do you ever just freeze them whole?
Well, the thing is, if I'm going to make like a strawberry rhubarb pie, it's a pretty big bite, you know, that whole strawberry, especially if it's a shucksen and it holds its shape. And then when they're all mushy and there's all that juice, if you try to put them on a board to cut them, you know, after they're frozen, you're going to lose so much juice and that's so much flavor.
Yeah.
And also when you cut them, then you get more juice. And so that's what I do. I cut them.
All right. That's good to know. I'm just getting ready to freeze a flat of whole ones today.
Good for you. Well, and if they're hoods, that's...
But I'm not going to make them into pie. So,
okay.
So that would be... So maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Hey, are you going to make jam?
I think I am going to make jam. I need another flat, though. I want one flat of frozen whole berries. And then I think I will try to make some jam because I really like freezer jam.
Yeah, and your method is so cool because I made it with you once. Do you remember? You, me, and Norma. Yeah, so what Marianne does is instead of using pectin, she just grates up an apple because apples have so much pectin. And so the thing about freezer jam that I love is that you aren't cooking the bejesus out of it like you have to when you are canning it. Even just for a minute, you just have to have it at such a rolling boil. It has to boil to the very edges of the pot, boil furiously is, I think, the perfect word. And when you boil fruit furiously, it loses some of its flavor. And freezer jam, you just like burble it.
It really does taste like fresh berries.
Yeah.
Which is what I love about it. And also with the thing about the apples for pectin is that they're not as reliable and scientific as a packet of pectin. Mm-hmm. So you never know how set up or not set up your jam may turn out. It's important that you use tart apples, like Granny Smith apples.
Yeah, I remember that's what we used.
The sweeter the apple, the less pectin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it turns out.
Okay.
So that's one key to getting the maximum amount of pectin. But the other thing about the freezer jam is I don't really care if it comes out super jammy. If it comes out a little bit more like sauce, that's fine with me.
We'll use it as sauce.
Yes, on everything. And it's still great on toast and waffles and pancakes, but it's really good on ice cream and pound cake and all of that stuff too. So yeah, I definitely want to do some of that. I'm pretty much through canning, to tell you the truth.
You mean like where you do it the way where you can just put it down in the basement for a year?
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't have a basement, but so I have things in my pantry actually mocking me on a daily basis for having done all that work and not having eaten them all, because really, and that's the other thing about a two-person household, is that you really don't need to put up a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and I used to do that when we were growing beds full of things, and so I still have some pickled beans and pickled beets mm-hmm. and a variety of stuff like that. But I just don't. I'm just turning into a grasshopper.
Well, and then the thing with freezer jam is you can just make as much as you want. Yeah. You don't have to make a whole batch and sterilize everything and yeah. get that pot boiling on the stove to yeah. can it. Yeah. So I think it's a lot less work, and I think it is more delicious.
I think it's totally more delicious, and also you don't need all of the jars and everything. You can just put it in a sealable bag mm-hmm. when you're ready to, like you would applesauce or something, mm-hmm. and stick it in the freezer, and so it packs pretty efficiently. It's a good thing, and we're only going to get more kinds of berries.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's so funny that you said that about freezer jam yesterday, because I just ran across a recipe, like, just, you know how you open a book and there's a recipe for freezer jam, and my friend Chrissy was asking me about freezer jam. Anyway, it was a method, and I am not going to use this method because it could very well be stupid, but you know what they use for pectin?
No.
Lemon seeds in a cheesecloth bag.
Well,
Have you ever heard of that?
And I've never heard about the seeds, but much of commercial pectin that you buy packets of is made from citrus rinds.
I didn't know that.
So it wouldn't be totally beyond the pale to think that the seeds have pectin also.
Well, you know, when you feel a lemon seed, it's slimy.
Yes.
So it sort of made sense. But the thing about making jam and putting in a bag of cheesecloth is that is going to suck up so much of your good flavor and juice. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so no.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So
let's not do that.
Okay.
Let's agree we're not doing
it. But the jam that we made together from your recipe was delicious.
It was delicious, yeah. And mine's all gone. So I definitely need more while we still have good berries.
Yeah.
And also we are getting some really superior local berries right
yeah.
now. I mean, like really local, like Astoria and its surrounds,
yeah.
Clatsop County and Pacific County, really wonderful local berries. So even as they disappear from the roadside stands, we still will have access to mm-hmm. some really great berries. Eat them. I say eat as many as you can quickly, and then figure out what to do with the rest
yeah.
of them.
And that's the thing about berries. You know, when you buy a flat, you're committed to cleaning it. But if you don't get to it right away, if you don't get to the jam making, just clean the berries and freeze them. And then you can thaw them again and make freezer jam, and they'll be really good. That's totally a fine thing to do, because don't let them get moldy or, you know.
Well, that's the other thing, yeah. though, is if you're going to buy a flat of berries, you need to buy them on the day that you're going to deal with them.
Yeah.
Because they can't just, unless you have a capacious refrigerator with nothing but empty shelf space, then they're going to sit on the counter, and by morning you're going to be sorry. So that's the other thing, is you kind of have to make time mm-hmm. to do that kind of thing. And I got to say that I've been getting, you know, it's CSA season.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are getting a consumer-supported agriculture share, you know, a box of goodies from a local farmer every week. Yay, it started. It's so exciting. But I've gotten a pint of strawberries each of the 2 weeks that have happened so far, and they never actually make it home. My husband doesn't even know we got berries in our share. They're so good.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. I was wondering if there are like varieties of strawberries in the rest of the country that are as good as what we have here. I just can't imagine it being better anywhere else.
I don't know. And I don't even think that in California, where they grow wonderful berries and their season is longer. When I lived in California, I never had a berry as good as the ones
yeah.
here. And I think it's, you know, they ship a lot of their berries out mm-hmm. and they get picked early, and they're gorgeous to look at. And mm-hmm. they're like beefsteak strawberries.
You mean those ones that are like white inside, right?
Yeah, those.
Yeah. Beefsteak strawberries.
Yeah. You could cut them into many slices.
Yes,
they're so big.
Yes.
But they just don't taste like anything.
Yeah.
So, I think that we're just really lucky.
That might be my new nickname, beefsteak strawberry.
I don't know. I thought it was generous half cup.
Oh, that's right. Linda, generous half cup Perkins. That's right.
The thing is that you're so quixotic about your nickname that we can never keep track of what the current one is. So if you're going to change it, just let us know now, and we'll try to...
I do on like an hourly basis.
Yes.
Poor Dale, he can't keep up. What am I supposed to call you?
Oh, my gosh. I would like to take just a quick sec to remind everybody that you are listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB in Tillamook, and that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. I'm not sure, given the dubious quality of this program, that we should even give credit to anyone for having given us permission to do this. However, there, it's been said. Yeah. So what else are you cooking lately? Because it is, I know that you're out there grilling with an umbrella over your head during the winter, but it is bona fide grilling weather.
Yeah, I just love to grill. Well, let's see. Grilling. I've been grilling everything. I've been grilling a lot more pork than I normally do. Normally, I just pretty much cook ribs, but I really like pork tenderloin with essentially just a pesto, but just no nuts in it or cheese in it on the outside. So I guess what would that be, a pea stew?
Yeah.
But maybe, just in your food processor, just take whatever herbs you're feeling like. I use a lot of basil and some thyme and rosemary and garlic, and I grind it up with olive oil and make a green paste, and then I just put that on the outside of the pork tenderloin and cook it till it's about 150 degrees, 145 degrees in the middle, and then paint it on there. I guess you kind of just like smush it on there.
So are you
couple times?
Are you like marinating in that herb mix at all ahead of time? No, you're just
Sort of, but not for any amount of time.
Okay.
Like I'll put it on the first time in the house and then take it on a tray out to grill it. And then I've got extra and I'll put it on maybe once again while it's cooking. And then I put a little on right before I take it off the grill, like, you know, 30 seconds before. So there's some fresh flavor on there.
And it doesn't burn.
No, it really doesn't. And that's kind of the weird, surprising thing. I think there's enough oil in it. And I think that things that you do with oil don't burn, whereas without they would, you know?
Uh-huh.
I think oil is a really big, important thing to grilling.
Well, in keeping with my annual plan, I am grilling nothing. Well, that's not true. I have a grill in my house on my stove.
You do a lot on that, and then you don't have to go outside, and that's actually kind of a lovely thing.
Well, it's a really lazy thing.
No, you get that flavor, and then you don't have to fight off, you know, cougars and thunderstorms.
I think, people who, yeah, right. I haven't had to fight off a cougar, man. Maybe that's why. But I think that people who grill over wood smoked charcoal would disagree that you get all the flavor of a grill from gas or electric.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the way that it treats the outside of whatever it is you're grilling.
No, so. I've had you made fajitas once and they were delicious. I mean, that grill is a wonderful thing. I just my stove is something that came with my house, as did the spot it's in. And so and the woman who had my house did not cook, and it was pretty much just for show. So it's 30 inches wide and it's electric. There's no place for any kind of grill or anything on there. And that's why, I mean, I have a wok that I use outside. It's hooked up to like a big crab cooker thing, and then the grill is outside, the smoker's outside. I mean, so much of the cooking that I do outside because I have my Barbie Malibu Barbie stove inside.
Well, I gotta say, I'm guilty of putting an electric stove in a brand new house when we built it, but it was because we wanted a solar power house.
Okay.
And so I got an electric stove, which I alternately revere and revile, depending on what I'm expecting it to do.
Well, we don't have gas out where we live. It's just too rural.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I think that that's okay. We could get into a whole big, really boring discussion about whether or not we should be, like, piping more gas in anywhere. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to let the sun do my cooking for me.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to, you know, I did our local meal kit thing last week because I was lazy and I still wanted good food. And so I got to cook rockfish, delicious, just pan-seared rockfish. Don't do any, get really good fish and then don't mess it up.
Okay.
And it was fabulous. And a steak salad that was really superior and made me remember how great steak salad is. What a great summer dinner.
What was it like? What made it superior, do you think?
Well, just really fresh greens, extremely good meat, and fresh herbs in with the greens, which there were herbs in there that I don't even know what they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a big mix. But just so delicious. It was just really refreshing and filling, and the kitchen didn't get overly warm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. So I'm dedicated to doing more entree salads, I think.
You know what? We do that a lot. And if we have something left over from grilling, of course, chicken or turkey, but steak most often. And it's that thing. And boy, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse to death, but maybe beating a horse to death. Linda doesn't know any idioms, Perkins.
Oh God, not
but,
another.
I'm sorry.
Another nickname.
But that flat iron steak that I love, it's so perfect for a steak salad. It just is, and for tacos too.
Yeah, and also salad niçoise. We live in the traditionally, I always am amused by the term traditional niçoise, salad niçoise, because it, depending on who you talk to, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
We have such good fish here that mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you're doing it with you. We can get excellent canned tuna. The thing we can't get here, and probably most places in the United States, is tuna canned in oil. It fell out of favor a long time ago when we got obsessed about fat.
Well, I bet that and the watermelon seeds are having a party somewhere.
Well, I'm telling you, I found a few places that carry some imported things, and I buy tuna in oil.
It's so much better.
It is so much better.
Yeah.
And especially for something like a salade niçoise, where it is the star of the show, mm-hmm. you know, you just can't beat it. We lose a lot thinking that we're saving our arteries in some way, but mm-hmm. really olive oil is not gonna I don't know for a fact, but I'm guessing that very few people worldwide have died of an awful olive oil overdose. So I'm not afraid. I am unafraid. Anyway,
I want it to taste good.
I would recommend, if you haven't had tuna in oil, that you try it, because it's pretty remarkably fabulous. So.
Yeah, that's how we can it. I got a new knife sharpener.
And?
Well, it's like the one you recommended. And I am
like
not...
a pull-through kind. Like,
yeah, yeah. So here's the thing. I have a steel, and I always get nervous with the steel that I haven't remembered the right angle.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? I don't do it every day, and I just don't have the kind of brain that for some reason is willing to store that information. And so then I wouldn't do it with the steel because I was afraid that I was doing it the wrong direction and doing it the wrong angle, and that I was, rather than sharpening my knives, messing them up. And so I just couldn't remember the right way to do it, and I wasn't smart enough to like write it on the outside of a kitchen cabinet, do it this way. So it's all taken up with the difference between baking soda and baking powder and Dutch process and natural cocoa powder. All that room is taken up on the
you
cupboards.
Have no more bulletin boards.
No. So then we have an electric one, but it's kind of a big thing to plug it in. And looking at that thing, it might be from the 50s. Oh, today, nobody turned my microphone around, which was really nice, but somebody swapped out Marianne's chair for a chair that is like infinitely older than she is. Anyway, my extremely old knife sharpener made me think of poor Marianne's new chair.
As is almost everything in this radio station. And one of the things I revere about Coast Community Radio is that almost everything is older than me, and it's hard to find that. So I love coming here.
Anyway, somebody keeps playing jokes on us, but at least now it's Marianne. But this is kind of a pull-through kind. You showed me yours, and it's you just hold a handle, and then there's just like a little kind of box that has two slots, and you pull it through.
Yeah.
And the one I found had three, and it's just because I was someplace, and it hit my eye, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Marianne said that those are good. And the third one is for Japanese knives, Asian knives, it says. And I have some. So I thought, okay, I'll get this one.
Like the Santoku knives?
Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, it has the three things and it sharpens so much better than my electric one. And it could be because my electric one should have been replaced 40 years ago.
Well.
But it really, really works good. And it's so easy because you just, this one you saw back and forth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you go to the finer grit, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you're done. And you're done. It works.
I know. They're fabulous. And they do eventually wear out, but they're not terribly expensive.
No, uh-uh.
So I just try to keep an eye on the blades. And if I'm starting to see a little nick here or there, I realize it's time for a new sharpener. But I use the one at the Food Web all the time because I sharpen all the knives for the classes before class. Just to make sure we have...
just to make sure that those kids in kids camp have really sharp knives.
Hey, you know
I know it's important.
It's really important.
But I just remember the scissors that I grew up with weren't scissors legally. Those, remember those little plastic round tip ones?
Yeah. That you could pinch yourself to death
with. Yes.
Yes. Well, I don't want our knives doing that. And also, there's nothing more painful than to cut yourself with a dull knife. It just... because then you get a cut and a bruise. Lovely. So I sharpen them a lot with that little pull-through sharpener, and it works.
Yeah, it's great. I cut up a bunch of tomatoes, and I was so happy.
Oh, and that's a test.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah, that's absolutely a test. So I read something interesting in one of my latest cooking magazines I got, you probably get it, about the fact that the flavor of tomatoes resides in their skin. Did you know
really?
That?
Really? No,
they're
I had no idea.
They're talking about making the best... tomato sauce.
Okay.
And in doing that, it's one of those magazines from a kitchen where they test everything a million different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's a little sciencey for my taste. But on the other hand, their recipes are killer because they've done all the work. But I did not know that about... And so they're recommending if you make tomato sauce to leave the skins in, you know, while everything's processing so that you get all of the flavor from them.
Boy, I don't think I'm going to do that because it's just, they're weird. They're like paper when they're in there, you know? And then I think I'm just going to mill them out,
can you?
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I'm a loser.
No.
I was just going to use San Marzano tomatoes.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm all for that.
Because they're so good.
Yes, they're perfect. And I am totally all for that. And the other thing is that very much like strawberries in season, tomatoes in season are so luscious that I very rarely will cook them in any way at all.
Yeah, that's
true.
Because
it's just not possible to eat enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm not growing any tomatoes. Do you grow tomatoes?
No, there was the great tomato disaster of 2008 when I didn't know.
I don't recall that.
Oh, it was large. Well, it kept getting cold and I had, I think, I don't know, 36 pots of them. And so poor Dale, I'm like, they have to come in tonight.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh.
And then the dogs were like, why are these in the house? We should help them.
Yes, they look like they need help.
Yes. And by digging, and oh man, that was just a disaster. And the only thing I've really been able to grow are cherry tomatoes, and I like them.
I like them too to just eat, but you know, they have the very, they have a tough skin.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
There's a test for your knife if you're having trouble and you're squishing cherry tomatoes. You need a knife sharpener. I don't like them for every single thing because of their skin.
Okay.
Reading this article made me feel stupid because I often will blanch a tomato really quick and peel it before I put it in a salad because I just want it to be luscious.
Soft, yeah.
Yes, and I think of it as like a special thing that I do, which apparently is throw away all the flavor of the tomato.
I don't think so.
I feel kind of bad about that now, but I'm going to run some tests of my own. I don't want to throw away the flavor of the tomato, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's so much tomato that I eat without skin, and it's very flavorful. I think they're just running out of things to write about.
They have tested everything under the sun.
Oh my God, I've become a curmudgeon. Oh my God.
I'm going to have to do some recipe testing here pretty soon. I'm starting to fix things for us to eat that are thinly disguised recipe tests. And I got to say that that is even more of a labor of love for me than peeling a tomato, because I'm not a big tester. You know what I mean? I just want to cook. Yeah. I don't want to cook the same thing 5 times until every single little thing is perfect. Yeah. But if you're trying to share a recipe for somebody with somebody, you really need to do that.
Yeah.
I have lots of cookbooks that clearly have not done that.
Oh, I know. Isn't that something?
Yes.
And first of all, there's all the printing errors, you know, where two teaspoons of vanilla becomes 2 cups and you're like, no, this is not right. And plus, that's $80.
I did that once on a food column. I said juice of 12 lemons instead of 2. Oops, typo. We're out of time. We have no more time for confessions of errors in the kitchen. Thank you so much for tuning into Food Talk. Linda, thank you very much.
So nice to see you, Marianne. Thank you.
Yeah. See you next. See you in a couple weeks. Stay tuned for John Stevenson and Lost Highways.